Blackstone Audiobooks presents In His Steps by Charles M. Sheldon from a series of sermons circa 1896. Chapter 1. It was Friday morning, and the Reverend Henry Maxwell was trying to finish his Sunday morning sermon. He had been interrupted several times and was growing nervous as the morning wore away, and the sermon grew very slowly toward a satisfactory finish. "Mary," he called to his wife as he went upstairs after the last interruption, "if anyone comes after this, I wish you would say that I am very busy and cannot come down unless it is something very important." "All right, Henry. But I am going over to visit the kindergarten, and you will have the house all to yourself." The minister went up into his study and shut the door. In a few minutes he heard his wife go out. Then everything was quiet. He settled himself at his desk with a sigh of relief and began to write. His text was from 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." He had emphasized in the first part of the sermon the atonement as a personal sacrifice, calling attention to the fact of Jesus suffering in various ways, in his life as well as in his death. He had then gone on to emphasize the atonement from the side of example, giving illustrations from the life and teaching of Jesus, to show how faith in Christ helped to save men because of the patterns or character he displayed for their imitation. He was now on the third and last point, the necessity of following Jesus in his sacrifice and example. He had just put down three steps, what are they, and was about to enumerate them in logical order, when the doorbell rang sharply. Henry Maxwell sat at his desk and frowned a little. He made no movement to answer the bell. Very soon it rang again. Then he rose and walked over to one of his windows that commanded a view of the front door. A man was standing on the steps. He was a young man, very shabbily dressed. "Looks like a tramp," said the minister. "I suppose I'll have to go down and..." He did not finish his sentence, but went downstairs and opened the front door. There was a moment's pause as the two men stood facing each other. Then the shabby-looking man said, "I am out of a job, sir, and I thought maybe you might give me a lead toward something."
"I don't know of anything. Jobs are scarce," replied the minister, beginning to shut the door slowly.
"I didn't know but that you might perhaps be able to give me a lead to the railroad office or the plant superintendent or something?"
continued the young man, shifting his faded hat nervously from one hand to the other.
"Would be of no use. You will have to excuse me. I'm very busy this morning. I hope you will find something. Sorry I can't give you something to do here, but I do the work myself."
The Reverend Henry Maxwell closed the door and heard the man walk down the steps. As he went up into his study, he saw from his window that the man was going slowly down the street, still holding his hat between his hands. There was something in the figure so dejected, homeless and forsaken, that the minister hesitated a moment as he stood there at the window. Then he turned to his desk, and with a sigh began the writing where he had left off. He had no more interruptions. When his wife returned 2 hours later, the sermon was finished. The loose leaves gathered up and neatly tied together and laid on his Bible, all ready for the Sunday morning service.
"A queer thing happened at the kindergarten this morning, Henry," said his wife while they were eating dinner.